Good morning, New City East Lake, again, and as we continue in our service this morning, it's time for us to hear God's Word. We'll continue with our short series in the book of Philippians, looking at chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, just a few verses, picking up from where we left off last week, where Paul is encouraging the church in Philippi, encouraging us, indeed, all of us as God's people, to think about those things that are just, things that are lovely, things that are commendable. Again, remember, Paul has been talking about the idea of having the mind of Christ, which is ours by faith, for those who belong to Him. And so he will continue encouraging us this morning as we talk about what a content heart looks like. So we'll begin our scripture reading in Spanish. Eunice is going to read for us, and then I'll read in English.
Hermanos, les invito a que por favor abran sus Biblias esta mañana en Filipenses capítulo 4, versículos 10 al 13. Filipenses capítulo 4, versos del 10 al 13. Y la palabra del Señor dice así: Me alegro muchísimo en el Señor de que al fin hayan vuelto a interesarse en mí. Claro, está que tenían interés, solo que no había tenido la oportunidad de demostrarlo. No digo esto porque esté necesitado, pues he aprendido a estar satisfecho en cualquier situación en que me encuentre. Sé lo que es vivir en la pobreza y lo que es vivir en la abundancia. He aprendido a vivir en todas y cada una de las circunstancias, tanto a quedar saciado como a pasar hambre, a tener de sobra como a sufrir escasez. Todo lo puedo en Cristo que me fortalece. Amén.
We're reading this morning from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Hear now the reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this yet again, another opportunity for us to come together to consider what it is that you're speaking to us. Would you give us ears to hear and a heart to believe? Would you transform us by the power of the Holy Spirit? Lord, we know that it is hard for us to hear the things that you're teaching us, to believe them and to walk in light of what you're teaching us. But we know that all things are possible through Him who gives us strength. And so by your Spirit, would you open our hearts that we may hear you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May I begin this morning in our time of looking at God's Word with a confession. My confession is that I do not possess a content heart. In fact, I really struggle to be content. Case in point, you may have heard me complain about the weather, and maybe you also complain about the weather. I don't like it when it gets too cold. And when it does, I usually long for the day that will get warm. And when it gets warm, I want it to be a little cold. Of course, apart from the little short space that we get when it's springtime, if you're that kind of a person, I just want it to be 65 and sunny all day long, every day of the year. That's me. I'm not sure about you, and I'm sure we all struggle with what it looks like or what it means to be content. And if you're like me, you certainly do feel being tossed and turned by the life's ever-changing circumstances, right? Things around us and in us seem to be changing all the time, and we find ourselves not comfortable, not content, and we're always looking for more or wanting more, and when we get that, we still want something else. We are never content. Life just does not seem to be content for us. Again, think about it, right? The need to lose a few pounds. The need to buy a new home because the one that you have is not quite enough. The need to land that job or that promotion that you've been longing for because your job doesn't seem like it's really comfortable. The longing to live a pain-free life. The longing to one day stop coveting your neighbor's well-manicured lawn. The list goes on. It's endless, right? Life sometimes just feels like it's a chasing of the wind, and the desires of our hearts, the things that we really long for, the things that we really want, those things seem to be unattainable. And the moment we get close to attaining them, something changes that reminds us that we're not content. And so circumstances seem to sometimes, you know, press us closer to the Lord, and other times they seem to be conspiring against us, so to speak, to drive us away from the Lord. And so the question becomes, how can we then cultivate a content heart? How can we begin to learn the secret of what it means to be content in our life? That's what Paul is teaching us in these verses that we just read. And the first thing that I want us to see this morning is that our contentment is utterly independent of our circumstances. That our contentment is utterly independent of our circumstances. That's what we see in verses 10 through 12. Paul begins by saying, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. He is rejoicing that this church that he loves, this church that he desires to see, this church that he calls his crown and joy, they have revived their concern for him. Now, some people may look at this verse and go like, wait a minute, Paul. Are you really saying, oh, finally, you have thought about me. You are considering my needs. You are finally concerned about me. You forgot about me. That's not what Paul is saying. Some people may feel like Paul is not being explicit in expressing his gratitude to his church. But Paul is, in fact, implicitly, so to speak, expressing his gratitude to this church that their gifts were a tangible demonstration of their concern for him. And if anybody was questioning or whether thinking that Paul was somehow in a subtle way rebuking the church for not being concerned for him, he actually adds and he says, in fact, you were concerned for me. In fact, you were already concerned. You were always concerned for me. But you did not have an opportunity to do that. Now again, we don't know why the church never had an opportunity to care for Paul. Maybe because he was in prison, or because he was traveling and they had lost touch with him. We don't know. We can only speculate. But once the opportunity opened up for the church to care for him, they grasped that opportunity and they provided for him. And so Paul is saying, thank you. He's saying, I express my gratitude. But he wants them to understand that his gratitude is not because somehow they have now alleviated his physical discomfort. Yes, he's in prison. Yes, he's in need. But he doesn't want them to misunderstand him, that he is only thankful for the gift. Paul is being thankful in the Lord. Why? Because Paul understands that his focus has to be not on his need. He actually says, in fact, I'm not speaking because I'm in need. And he wants the focus not to be on his need, but the focus to be on the Lord, on Jesus, on the God who is the provider, who provides for all of their needs. Paul does not want to be seen as one who is in ministry just for the money, just for the gifts. He doesn't want to be seen as one who is just fully dependent on the gifts of others. Remember, actually, when you read in 1 Corinthians, Paul was always super careful to make sure that his need and his request for financial assistance did not become scandalous. And so Paul wants the church to know that my focus is not on my need, but on the God who provides, not just for me, but for you as well. And so his central focus in his joy is in the Lord. He actually says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. He doesn't say, I rejoice because you give me this gift. And it is this central focus, being on God, which transforms our relationship with one another. The relationship of giving and receiving gifts that Paul wants us to understand. It is God Himself who initiates, who empowers, who supplies, and who meets all of our needs. And so before we think about the horizontal relationship with one another, receiving and giving, Paul wants us to understand the vertical relationship. And so ours is only a participation of what God has already initiated, of what God has already empowered, of what God has already given to us. And so we work together in receiving and giving and allowing each other to be generous and to provide for each other. That is what causes Paul to rejoice. Why is this the case, we may wonder, for Paul? How is he able to see this transaction of giving and receiving in a vertical sense, and how we relate to it in a horizontal sense? It's because of what he says. He has learned that in whatever circumstance, he is to be content. That Paul has learned the lesson through a lifetime of ups and downs and bit by circumstance by circumstance, test by test. He's been in the laboratory, in the lab of life. He has been tested. He has worked hard. He has mastered the attitude. And now he's passed the test. Paul is a man of unshakable contentment. And so he's wanting us to realize that the whole idea of being content is not something that comes natural to us. It's not something that is going to be easy for us. It's something that we must work hard. It's something that we must cultivate. So there are no 5 easy steps. There are no 12 steps to being content. It is something that we must learn. And Paul has gone through a whole lot of experiences to learn what it means to be content. Elsewhere in 2 Corinthians he says, "For the sake of Christ then I am content with weaknesses, with insults and hardships, persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Why? Because I am in the Lord. In this school of contentment, Paul has already learned how to be humbled and how to prosper. You see, notice Paul is not just speaking of being content with all the hardships and everything, every hard thing that he's faced. But he's actually speaking of being content even when he prospered. Again, he doesn't give us a whole lot of details when Paul was prospering and having plenty and all of that. But there were moments when Paul was doing okay. But it's easy for us to identify or to think about, yeah, you know, when I'm going through a really difficult life situation, oh man, you know, that's when I need to learn how to be content. But Paul is saying, even when we have plenty, even when the comforts of this life are there for us to enjoy, we need to learn how to be content. Because the comforts of this life can easily take the place of God. The comforts of this life can lead us to having a restless life, because the more we have, the more we want, the more we desire. Again, as Scripture teaches us that we cannot serve two masters, we should be aware that we're careful whether we prosper or whether we're dealing with life struggles. We must be content. Paul gives us the antidote. He is not finding contentment in the Philippian gift. But notice the church as well. Notice this poverty-stricken, divided, persecuted church in Philippi is also willing to give out of its poverty. That both Paul and the church are detached from the love of money, so to speak. That they're willing to be generous to one another. That the Philippian church is willing to give, but also Paul is saying, I can do without your gift. I can do without the money that you're sending. Why? Because I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. They have their priorities, right? The church has refused to let money control them, and they're more than willing to let it go, to give it away. He has no power. Nothing has power over Paul or the church. They're all willing to show that where their loyalties are. They've trusted God. They know that God is going to supply all their needs, as we will see again next week, according to His riches in glory. Even more, Paul has not simply learned through experience, because the common cliche to us is that, you know, experience is the best teacher. Well, not quite. The secret to contentment Paul shows us here is being in Christ. It's not just simply going through life's ups and downs. It's not just going through all these experiences. Experience can be helpful to us, but it's not it. It's not the antidote. It's not the solution. Whether we're well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, the secret is to be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The focus has to be that relationship. The focus has to be being found in Christ and not on fluctuating circumstances of life. See, Paul is not speaking of contentment here in terms of the absence of pain. Because sometimes we do think that to be content is to disregard the painful experiences that we may have, the emotional hardships that we may experience when we're going through trials. That's not what Paul is saying. If you've ever been hungry and felt hunger pangs, you know how difficult, you know how painful that is. If you've ever been humiliated in your life, you know how hard that is. And so Paul is speaking of all these experiences. I know how to be brought low and how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I mean, these are hard things. Paul is not speaking of detachment from emotional and physical and even spiritual pain. No. But he is speaking of contentment which flows out of his life in Christ, out of understanding that he's in Christ, out of understanding where his help comes from. Again, as I mentioned, the church in Philippi is this poverty-stricken, persecuted, and divided. But it's a church that understands that God is fully and able to meet all of their needs. Again, it doesn't always mean physical needs, but that actually God is able to provide the resources that we need in order to go through life, even when things are difficult, that we are not alone, that He's with us, that while the circumstances of this life may change, whether around us or in us, we know that we're not alone, that we have one who walks with us, one who provides for us, one who gives us strength to endure. It is God Himself who dispenses these gifts to us. And so the question I want to ask you this morning is, suppose everything that you have was to be taken away from you. Suppose God was to intervene your 5, 10, 20 year plan and change them. Are we still going to be able to bow our hearts before Him no matter what circumstances we face in this life? That's what Paul is pointing us to. That our circumstances ought not to be the determining factor of our contentment. The second thing and final thing that Paul wants us to see in this just one single verse, verse 13, is this. Our contentment, as we said, is utterly independent of our circumstances. But secondly, our contentment is utterly dependent on Christ. Verse 13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Again, Paul is saying a content heart will not seek independence, but a total dependence on Jesus. And this concept was actually a common concept of contentment. It was used by the so-called Stoic philosophers of Paul's time. And it was actually used to mean self-sufficiency. You know, these philosophers would say things like, man should be sufficient unto himself for all things and able by the power of his will to resist the force of circumstances. The great philosopher Seneca himself said, you know, the happy man is the content man who is content with his present lot, no matter what it is. And it is reconciled to his circumstances. Paul Simon, the great musician and rocker, sings a song and he says, I am a rock, I am an island, and a rock never feels pain, and an island never cries. See, it's the philosophy of this self-contained, superhuman person that could rise above it all in independent self-sufficiency and serenity. It is being self-sufficient. It's, you know, just basically refusing to let desires and emotions and the dependence on anything ever touch you. You know, you can't feel it. But the contentment that Paul is speaking of here is a Christ centered contentment as opposed to self-sufficiency. It is a contentment that is rooted on the eternal God and not on the temporal self. Paul is content not because he's independent, but because he is totally dependent on Christ. He is definitely worlds apart from the Stoic philosophers, isn't he? And so he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One of the most misquoted, most memorized passages in Scripture. Because we usually take it out of its context, right? We usually take it to mean, I can do all things, you know, through Christ who gives me strength. Meaning these extraordinary things. Meaning that somehow because we are Christians that we can go out there and achieve all and everything and do everything without working for it or anything like that. But we can do all things. You know, it's triumphalism, right? Triumphalism that we become superhumans through Christ. But Paul is saying he's learned to be content because he has learned to trust. I have learned to be content because I have learned to trust. I can do all things. Paul is saying no circumstance could ever arise which would be too much for Paul's God. Not for him, but for his God. And this kind of contentment is not found in creating a security, our own security. It is, in fact, found in abandoning all of our security to Jesus. It is knowing that when we're hungry, He is the one who feeds us. It is understanding when we're thirsty, He is the one who will satisfy us. It is knowing when we lack, He's going to provide. When we're empty, He is the one who's going to fill us. It is understanding that when we are poor, we are made rich in Christ. Paul is saying that He will be divinely strengthened in order to do all the things that God has called Him to do. Paul is saying that by the power of the Holy Spirit, He is going to be equipped in order to endure and to persevere all things, whether plenty or in trials. That it is the power of Christ that gives Him strength. Friends, do you know this is an encouragement to us? That when we go through hardships, that when we go through trials in this life, that we expect by God's grace that we are strengthened to see those as opportunities for us to be content, to learn what it means to be content. I don't know if that's your struggle right now. I don't know if that's how you're feeling when we go through trials. I mean, we're going through this pandemic in our life, and whatever difficulty you may face, I hope that you see it as an opportunity for God to teach you, to help you learn what it means to be content. And so for us, we should be reading this verse as, I can do all things in Christ, not just simply through Him, but in Christ. That you are a person who is in Christ, that whatever the circumstance you face, you are in Christ. And by that, God is going to give you the endurance that you need in order to face life. It doesn't mean that you can do everything that you want to do. Listen, if you want to pass your math test, go do some calculus and some algebra, okay? If you want to learn how to, or if you want to fly a plane, don't get on a plane and take the controls while reciting, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not going to work. The power lies in Christ who gives strength to endure whatever the situation we find ourselves. It is found in our intimate relationship. Intimate communion with Jesus is the source of our strength. That's what Paul is saying. And so this kind of contentment is contentment that is void of self-sufficiency, right? And yet Paul is not claiming to be so strong that nothing can touch him. He's not claiming to be an invincible, that nothing can move him. He's not resolving to be independent of circumstances. He is saying, I owe everything to God for reaching the state where I am today. I owe everything to Christ. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that I can be content, that I have been trained, that I've passed the test of being content. And so all of us, just like Paul, are in this school of God's providence, right? Where we're learning what it means to be content, and that our higher ambition must always be to be found in Christ. To be found in Christ. Yes, we have to plan. Yes, we must have ambitions for our present life, for our future. We must do all those things. And yet sometimes I feel like when we're making all the plans in this life and deciding what life is going to look like for us, we often forget who we are and why we're here, why God has placed us here. And how we ought to view ourselves in light of that. And when we don't realize who we are in Christ, and while we're here, then we become discontent. Especially when those plans that we have don't fall into place. Or when God intervenes in those plans and changes them. We become unhappy. And so it is with Christ that we should be content. Because He is the one who is with us. Every single day of our life. So the basis of our contentment is grounded in our union with Jesus. Because from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. That to possess Christ is what really brings us contentment. You know, I really don't know about your life and where you are today. I don't know if you recognize how our self-sufficiency is only sinking sand. You know, I often wonder if we are all in Christ, if we're believers in Christ, how is it that we're so dissatisfied with where we are, for the most part?
A few times we feel like we're satisfied, but for the most part, we are dissatisfied with life. You know, I think this is a moment for us to ask some serious questions about our life and where we are. To ask God to help us to understand in what ways that we find ourselves in going through trials, we find ourselves dissatisfied because our circumstances are really the ones that determine whether we're happy or not. Or to ask ourselves, when we're in a comfortable place, are we really comfortable and happy and content because we place our trust in those things and not in Christ? See, Paul is trying to help us to understand that whether we have plenty or do not have plenty, that those things will never be constant, that they will change, that those things will come and go. And so the question for us is, when those things change or when those things are taken away from us, where are we going to find our contentment? And you see, for Paul, if we really think about his life and him being in house arrest, if Paul was to ever look at his life, he would see chains, he would see weakness, he would see humiliation. He's being humiliated as a servant of God. And so he's saying, if you want to know what it means to be content, you've got to look somewhere else, not from within. You've got to look to Christ, because he said, when I look to Jesus, I see the one who gives me strength in order to endure, in order to persevere everything that comes to me. And so I see strength, I see glory, I see amazing things happening in my life, because my circumstances will not determine whether I'm content or not. It is in Christ that I'm content. And so maybe we need to really pause right now and think about who we are and think about our life and ask the question, has greed and not gratitude taken over our hearts? Has getting and not giving become something that we value? Has self-sufficiency and not Christ-sufficiency taken root in our life? And I think where we need to go is to understand that our contentment does not come from within, but from without, from Christ. To understand that it is only by looking to Jesus that our self-sufficiency will become Christ's sufficiency. To understand that the key and the secret to being content is found in Him and in Christ alone. That He is the one who mediates all of God's blessings to us. And that Jesus is not merely the channel along which those blessings flow, but He is in fact the place where those blessings are deposited. And to understand that if we possess Jesus, we possess everything. The key, the secret to contentment is possessing the one who gives us strength. It is possessing Jesus so that we may possess everything in this life to His glory. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we confess that we struggle with being content. I know I do. And that when circumstances change, there goes my content heart. That the comforts of this life have made me lean on them and not on You. Have mercy on us, Lord Jesus. Would You expose our self-sufficiency? And would You lead us to a place that we recognize that You are everything. That You are enough. That You are sufficient for us. May that bring us great comfort, great satisfaction in our life. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.